Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go.
All right. Channeling my inner Matthew McConaughey. Welcome into the playbook. You never heard him say that? You know?
Oh, hold on.
No, I did not. Yeah.
No, he's always notorious for saying that.
Really?
Yeah, I know. If you follow the Longhorns like I do, he's a Texas ex.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that, yes.
And so that's what he usually starts out with, and everybody gives him crap for it because that's all he ever says is, all right.
And so, that's a Texas thing?
Yeah, sort of.
A UT thing?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. I'm goofing on the guy because I frankly don't like him that much.
Really?
Although I think he is a hell of an actor. I just think he's kind of smug, and I don't want him representing my alma mater too much. I don't know why. I just look at the guy, and I'm kind of like, I don't know. I just kind of want to punch him in the face.
You just, like, happen to get introduced to him, you would just haul off and...
Hey,
slug him.
How's it going?
Boom! No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. I just kind of feel like I got to hit that puss right there. I got to, I don't know. Stupid. Don't you just love how I can digress with you right into
yes.
the program?
Yes. I always just think he would, if they could make a movie where he was the son of another actor, I thought he bore a pretty strong resemblance to a young Paul Newman.
In a sense, I would agree with that. Look, I don't know why I feel that way. I actually think he's a very good actor. I thought what he did with Dallas Buyers Club was outstanding.
I didn't see it.
Oh, go see that.
Yeah?
Please see that. That's a great movie. And I understand why he received an Academy Award for it. He was that good.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see his next project. But he just kind of like he's smarmy to me when it comes to representing the alma mater. And I know that he was big buddies with Mack Brown, the former football coach there, and he's buddies with a lot of people around UT. I understand why UT would embrace him because he's an Academy Award winning actor. Mm. He makes the school look good. But I'm just saying I'm just not a big fan.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be.
No. Personal fan, anyway. That's it. So, that's why I channeled my inner Matthew McConaughey. All right. Here we go. We're in the playbook. It's hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus? I clearly believe that most everyone feels, and I've kind of come about face on this, Eric, because the beginning of the week, when I sat down to write my column, the nitpicks and nitwits,
yes.
For the view from above, for the website, I kind of, the initial impression after Baltimore beat Pittsburgh was, holy crap, we're in trouble because this is the one team that I feared the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an overwhelming sense based on the responses.
Then you became a man and you grew up and said, I ain't scared of nothing.
Kinda, because the initial responses I get, and by the way, thank you. And I mean this sincerely. Thank you to all of my Twitter followers and to my Facebook friends who took the time to immediately hit me up. I mean, within seconds, actually, even before Pittsburgh was obliterated by Baltimore, they're sending me notes and they're sending me tweets and they're sending me posts saying, wow, do you think we can beat them? I mean, what do you think? Can Pittsburgh come back here? Because I really feel I'm nervous about Baltimore. Seconds! And I'm getting all these hits on my social media stream, and, I'm on the road over the weekend. I'm in Milwaukee, and then I'm in Indianapolis, and I'm nowhere near the studios. Actually, he stayed home because they're out of school right now.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that a bummer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was bummed, too. Yeah, they're still out of school. He didn't go back until next weekend. But, so that's the initial vibe I got, which is why I kind of slanted the piece this week that way, because I figured, somebody's got to write the, here come the big bad Ravens, piece, and I figured somebody had to do it, without, the entire organization appearing smug and overconfident here. And then now that I've had a chance to sort of...
Like Matthew McConaughey.
Yes! Exactly! Thank you. I'm glad you picked up on that. See? I feel brain dead today because I didn't get home until 4:30, but at any rate. So I've kind of come, I'm not completely full circle around, but I can now see why you know, fans would start to come around to the Patriot way of thinking, because let's look at the numbers. I mean, you know, ball don't lie, so to speak. They really have struggled in the secondary largely because of the injuries that they suffered earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a tremendous opportunity for New England to come out and play to their strength. And, you know, I said yesterday to Scott Sudikoff, and by the way, thank you, Scott, for sitting in yesterday, and I'm glad I could. I had the time to be able to join you by phone for yesterday's program. And I said to him, I said, I would really love to see the Patriots take the ball and jam it down the throats, but realizing that if they, you know, there's two different ways of jamming the ball down someone's throats. I still would love for them to take the ball rather than defer, because, you know, that just drives me nuts. But
I do, too. I want them to take the ball.
I do, yeah. I think you need to take the starch right out of their shirts right from the get-go. They won't. But I would love to see what would happen if they did, because I think they'd be just as effective, if not more so. Here's the thing. Dinking and dunking, or short pass game, or intermediate pass game, is just as good as ramming it down their throats with, you know, controlled runs up, you know, in the middle of the scrimmage.
Right?
As long as you're throwing together an 8, 9, 10-play drive, 70-plus yards, taking up 5-plus minutes, 6-plus minutes on the clock, doesn't matter how you get there. Mm. It's all about, you know, getting there and scoring in the red zone and getting 7 and not having to settle for 3 against Baltimore's defense. And I think that the Patriots, their strength here is going to be in attacking the Achilles heel that we know of for Baltimore. And let's get into that, you know, 7 to 10 yard pass range. And I also think this is where the biggest challenge for Baltimore coming into the game will be, what do we do with the Gronk factor? Do they really have anyone that can
come
up?
Nobody does.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying here.
Nobody
so
does.
It sounds to me then they're going to have to put extra help on Gronk, which means somebody's
going to get open.
Someone's going to get open.
J11.
Yes, that's kind of what I think. I think Julian Edelman has a huge freaking day on Saturday.
Actually, I think Gronk has a huge day.
Well, if he does, then you know, ball game. But I'm just saying that if they decide to slide extra help, well, maybe they're just going to say, you know, look, you have to understand, John Harbaugh comes from the Bill Belichick school of thought. We want to take something away, and we want to try to make the Patriots somewhat predictable. So because of that, we're going to do whatever we can to take Gronk out of the game. We know that he can beat us. We're going to take him out. Somebody else is going to have to beat us, which is why I think Julian Edelman has the day on Saturday. Just my thought. And, again, it could be Gronk, and if it is Gronk, then the Patriots are going to win the game if he has a big day. I think we all kind of realize that. But I'm going to give Baltimore here the benefit of the doubt, because I do respect that front seven immensely. And seeing how they might be able to tie some things up and give him some difficulty in getting open, Edelman's the one that could have one of those 8, 9, 10 catch for 110-yard type of performances.
Yeah.
With maybe a touchdown or two. Kind of my thoughts, at least going in. And so I do think that that's where this game can differentiate. I do think that's where the Patriots have a decided edge going against that Ravens back seven, shall we say, rather than the front seven. Now, the other side of the coin here, of course, is how do you slow down a pass rush with Haloti Ngata, who is probably the best interior rusher in the NFL, save for Ndamukong Suh.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, I think people might even prefer him, because he seems to be at least a cleaner player than a guy like Sue might be. And you got Terrell Suggs, who is, you know, the antichrist to Tom Brady. And even though he's been somewhat tamed thus far this week, you know he's going to be, you know, loaded for bear. I kind of feel like the Patriots would probably go heavy on the offensive line in an attempt to try to slow him and Elvis Dumervil down, because Dumervil's had a hell of a year. What's he had, 17 sacks, I think?
I don't know the exact number.
I think 17. So I just think the Patriots having the week to prepare, that's going to help. And we'll probably see Marcus Cannon in there as the you know, tight end eligible tackle on some occasions. And you know, 61's an eligible receiver. You know, from
that's
the,
usually
from
for
the
running plays.
A lot of times it is. But I think they'll also
do it for pass pro.
I think they might, and I also believe that we'll probably see James Devlin back there to chip on, you know, some of those guys.
Yeah, I could see more Devlin in the game, but as an extra, you know, blocker, and you get that threat of are they going to run the ball?
Right. Kind of what I think.
Having as a lead blocker there, or as the extra guy to help out with pass protection.
Yes. So really, where I'm going then with all of this is the focus. Obviously, today is WTF Wednesday. So what I want from our listeners today and our participants in the program is, what's the Baltimore focus that you're most concerned with? Is it Suggs? Is it Dumervil? Is it Nada? Is it, you know, let's flip it to the other side. You know, is it, you know, at running back for them? Is it Torrey Smith? Is it Steve Smith? You know, is it Owen Dan? Who is it? What aspect of the Baltimore Ravens concerns you the most, that are you most concerned about doing damage to give this team a chance at a win? And here, I'll give you my answer right off the bat, and I'm not sure that anybody would agree, but here's kind of what I'm thinking. Special teams. Because I think Baltimore special teams rank right up there with anybody's in the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think, you know, while we've talked a lot about the improvement of the Patriots special teams and how special, pardon the pun, they have been, you know, to New England's success over the course of the entire season, Baltimore can match them.
Yeah, they can.
Justin Tucker is
a fantastic kicker.
A great kicker.
Yeah.
Hook 'em horns. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. So all I'm saying here is that I, you know, he you know, 60 is his range.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
and,
yeah.
And he'll be very comfortable booting it from
even
60.
Even outside, like, as you saw, Heinz Field is one of the toughest places to make a long field goal.
I'm just saying.
And he drilled one from 52 with no problem the
right.
other night.
I agree.
So
I really believe Baltimore's ability to match the Patriots, you know, in the kicking game especially, is hugely important. And that if the Ravens can keep this into a one-possession game, you know, throughout, and allow their special teams to do damage, that's what concerns me. That's my focus. In all honesty, there's many different ways that you can go with this. There's no right, really, or wrong answer here. But Justin Tucker's ability to kick it far and accurately concerns me.
Much better than Billy Cundiff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember the Billy Cundiff?
Well, yeah, he shanked it here and cost him a game. Mm. Otherwise, this team would be 3-0 in three playoff appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They've won two of the last three here that they've played in the postseason.
Yeah.
They would have swept the last three if Cundiff hadn't shanked.
The only three?
Yes. Correct.
This would be the fourth.
So, even though the Ravens kind of snuck into the playoffs with the sixth seed, they still had to have San Diego lose in the last week, and San Diego lost, so they did, and they won. Baltimore won, so they got in. And now that they're in, are you going to be in it to not win it? No, of course not. And this is why I think Baltimore is very dangerous, because now that they're in, they have no fear coming here.
Yeah, they didn't anyway.
And they don't have any fear going anywhere, but they especially don't have fear here. In fact, anything, I would argue that they have utmost confidence
and I think that might be their downfall. I think they might be relying too much on that aspect, because this is a different team than the other two that have come in here before. They don't have Ray Lewis anymore.
Who was a huge factor. Yes, and the Patriots also have, you know.
The Patriots are a different team than they were.
Yes, they have a healthy Gronk, and they have Darrelle Revis.
Yeah. So I think the Ravens might be a little overconfident in the, oh, we've come to Foxborough and done it before thing. And I think that's going to be to their detriment.
Well, we're going to find out. But I am going to give them more than a puncher's chance in this game.
They certainly do. I certainly give them credit, and I respect the fact that they have won two out of three playoff games here.
So the question is, do they have the Patriots number? I mean, you know, sometimes
I don't think
teams
do.
In the NFL win for inexplicable reasons.
That's very true. That's very true. But I don't think that's going to be the case this Saturday.
Well, frankly, that's what worries me the most. I just kind of feel like, you know, well, maybe law of averages will help out here, but sometimes you don't know why does a 1-8 team beat an 8-1 team in the NFL? Because they can. That's how close teams really are. And so, you know, playoff games always boil down to what? You know, turnovers and kicking game.
Mm-hmm.
And Baltimore's kicking game is very, very good.
Yeah. So is New England's.
So is New England's. But they can match New England.
And New England,
here,
creates turnovers pretty well.
I think they're going to have to create a turnover.
I agree.
They're going to have to pick Flacco off.
I think they will.
And they're going to have to get Justin Forsett to cough it up, which he can do. He did this last week against Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. but it didn't hurt him.
All right.
So I'm just thinking that, you know, I think the Patriots need to create one or two turnovers, and they're going to need to get one or two cheap scores.
I think they will, John.
All right. How do you feel? 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. Let's open up the lines. Let's let you hold on to the show today. WTF Wednesday. What's the focus Wednesday? What's your focus from the Ravens' point of view? Who on that team worries you the most? What is the one factor on that Baltimore team that you feel like can possibly beat the Patriots? And if it's nothing, well, then say so. But there's got to be a focus from your perspective, and that's what I'm looking for today on WTF Wednesday. 855-PATS-500, 855-728-7500, toll-free telephone number, web radio at patriots.com, email, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. I'm so close to 2,800, I can smell it. I'm so close. My goal was to try to get to 3K by the end of the football season. I may end up short. I would love to
make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, if they make it to the Super Bowl, I think I still got a shot. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we bring a whole bunch of new fans in, maybe, and you know, they sample the playbook and you know, read the column or whatever, and you know, jump on board. That's what I'm kind of hoping. So, if you're listening here, either live or you know, on the podcast, jump aboard at JR Broadcaster. That's where you find me on Twitter. There's good stuff, and I'm not going to kill your inbox on Twitter. I'm not going to do that. I don't like to do that.
You don't spam. You're not going
to
spam.
I don't spam. No, I don't spam. At least I try not to, but I don't. But you know, I'm going to feed you, and I'll feed you good stuff, and I'll retweet good stuff that I find that you know certainly are Patriots related or NFL related. And then if you want to, you can climb aboard on Facebook, my own personal Facebook page. You can find me at John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. And if you have not submitted a friend request, you can do so. And I will answer that in the affirmative, and then you can post, and you can also chat during live programs as well, and we can go back and forth, and we can talk a little football on and off the air away from the programs. And that is where I really got a lot of the instant reaction from Baltimore beating Pittsburgh over the weekend. Immediately on Facebook, it just lit up. Boom, 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 boom. I got like 6, 7, 8 in a row, like, oh, my God, I'm scared. I'm worried. Oh, Baltimore is the worst possible matchup, and blah, blah. And I'm like, settle down.
It's tough, but just calm down with being afraid.
Yeah. Calm down. So, but that's fine. And you know what? I laughed and I said, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I said, well, geez, I guess this social media thing really works because I thought it was kind of cool, actually. And so I took my time to try to answer as many as I could or like their comments or whatever. If I was in the middle of something, I'll at least, you know, hit the like button.
Right. And acknowledge that you read it.
Acknowledge that I read it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I usually always do that anyway. So there's a lot of different ways that you can join the program and you can jump into the playbook and you can be a part of the program here on Patriots.com. Very easy to do. Now, I know you got to get off because
I do.
You have an NFL Network appearance on their NFL Now web program coming up.
I do.
Wow, that's big time. So you're shoving us, you know, out the door to go big time on us.
Yeah, I am.
God almighty.
I'm going all Matthew McConaughey on you. I'm being all smug and too good for you.
Let's go. All right. I like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
We found the CBS Orchestra, so
you know what,
it's here.
You know what yesterday was, John?
What was yesterday?
Yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, damn, that's right, because I hit you up on Facebook and said that. That's right.
You did.
Happy birthday.
You're
going to
call him a fake friend, too? Yes. No, but he was a real friend before he became a fake friend. So
I don't really think that's a fake friend. Well, you know,
no,
hey,
you know, I'm just
I understand. That, okay. And so, happy birthday. So how old are you now?
42.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will say this, except for the Chrome Dome, you don't look 42.
Well, if I had
hair, you'd look way younger.
I'd look way younger, wouldn't
I? You would.
Wouldn't I?
You would.
About 10 years, maybe?
Easy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I honestly believe
it.
It's
holding me back, man.
I know. I think you need to go visit Dr. Robert Leonard
or
something.
No, because that stuff doesn't work. You can see right through that stuff.
Wes Walker says it works.
Man,
I hear all the commercials.
Nah.
Come on.
You believe everything you hear on commercials?
Truth in advertising, baby.
Anyway, in light of my
follically challenged.
No, in light of my birthday yesterday, I'm going with the word of the day today.
Birthday.
See, I did that on purpose for you. Senescence.
Senescence.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue.
S-E-N-E-S-C-E-N-C-E. Senescence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a bizarre one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Where'd you dig that one up?
Just from reading. Not where Robin thinks it is, but I read
National
a lot of
Geographic.
No.
She thinks you look at all the nudie African tribe pictures.
No. That's not getting it done for me. No. No.
Love it.
No, this is a word I've known for a while, but it means basically it's the condition of old age.
Senescence?
Yes.
Okay.
The deterioration of the body and the cells through just long life.
Then I got a lot of that senescence crap running through my system right now.
But you still got a nice crop of hair on that head of
yours. Yes, I do. It's gray.
Doesn't matter. That's
but it's still here. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. senescence.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how do we put that in football terms for the week? Because you know I'm going to ask you that.
Earlier this season, many a critic were saying were predicting the demise of Tom Brady due to senescence.
Got it.
And they have since been proven wrong.
Wrong. Incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senescence. I like
How's
it.
How's that?
I'll probably get an email or two that will also use that word. That usually happens on the program.
Really?
Yes, yes. They try to use your word
in a
question.
Just sort of throw it, throw it in there,
throw
like
it around
sort of casually.
Try to use it in a question, which is really cool. So see, we're raising the level
That's
of
what
intelligence
I'm talking about.
In our audience
That's what I'm
here,
talking
which
about.
I love. That's right.
Reaching down a hand and
pulling everybody up along with us, right?
As much as we can.
Whether you like it or not, we're going to pull you in.
You're damn right. We're going to learn you something on this on this here program.
We're going to learn you something. Yeah. All right, Big E. Go have fun. Knock
Thanks,
them man. Dead on NFL Network.
I'll do my best.
I want to know how it goes, though.
I'm going up against a Ravens.com guy.
Ooh, is this like a debate thing?
Well, sort of. They gave us some questions in advance, and the hostess is going to.
And this is all
this
web?
This is going to be on the NFL Now, which
is
their
chat thing?
No, I think it's their
radio program.
NFL Now is kind of like the video. Have you seen those commercials where all the fans are in the stadium singing?
I
think it's like for the mobile devices. I think more than anything.
Kind of cool,
but you know, not all a bad audition for the mamaship, right?
Yeah, you need to. So then all of a sudden on NFL Network, on the television, we'll be saying, "And here's Eric Scalavino
from
Foxborough."
Let me just get through this.
Hey,
one hit at a time, John. Let me get through this one.
All right, one brick at a time. Okay.
All right, bud.
I like it. Have fun.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. You will. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. All right, let's, Kev, do we want to take a break? Let's just go into the phones. Yeah, we got phones lighted up. So let's go to the phones. And again, WTF Wednesday, what about the Ravens concerns you? What's your focus from Baltimore's point of view? Who worries you? And if it's nobody, say so. All right, leading us off, is this Toso and Lincoln?
Hey, John, what's up?
Tosha, how are you? Lincoln, Rhode Island. You're in the playbook. What's up, bub?
Nothing much. First time calling in. Glad to be on the show. You're a real classy guy, first of all.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. Thanks a lot. You know, Lincoln, Rhode Island is not too far away from where I am. Lived in Rhode Island for 23 years, and then now I live in Massachusetts, but I'm still not too far away from you, bro.
Oh, you used to live in Lincoln?
Didn't live in Lincoln, but I was through there all the time because I used to actually coach Little League and AAU baseball. So we were always playing in Lincoln because Lincoln's got a great program.
Yeah, they do. That's cool.
Yeah, all right. So what's up?
So about the Ravens, it's not really a particular person I'm scared about, but I know I was listening to PFW in Progress. They're talking about the Ravens secondary, how depleted it's going to be easy to go against. But I really feel my biggest part of concern is if we don't get a running game established or even, you know, a little bit of a help from a running game and Tom Brady has to be one-dimensional, and that's when I see that we're going to have, like, a lot of three and outs, and that's where it's really going to be dangerous because the Ravens are going to be able to stick in the game.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be just like those other playoff games.
Okay.
Because I don't understand. When we're in the red zone, McDaniels never wants to run the ball. We have Garrett Blunt, Jonas Gray. I don't know why we don't take advantage of that more. What's your thing?
Well, you know, I think that they're going to run enough. At least my thought is that they'll run enough to try to keep, you know, Baltimore honest. Because the only way – you know that the best part of the Patriots passing game, Toso, is, you know, play action. And so you have to have the threat of run to be able to set that and make it happen. Even if you freeze the linebackers and the defensive backs for a quarter of a second, all you need is the receiver to get an edge or to – find the gap somewhere defensively in the middle. And because of that, you got to be able to sell the run. So unless there is at least a threat of the run, you're not going to be able to play action. So they're going to have to run the ball. And my guess is that you'll see some of the heavy package that we've seen throughout the course of the year, you know, which includes that six lineman. And I think you'll probably see them pound with Blunt. I really do. I think you'll do that. And, you know, whether Gray or Vereen gets in there, I actually wouldn't be at all surprised to see Vereen start the game. And the reason I say that is because I think the Patriots will be ready to throw to him out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's definitely a good option with that.
I think so. And those wheel routes, I think they will test Baltimore early in an effort to kind of loosen them up, because I think the Ravens will pin their ears back and come after the Patriots and put unmitigated pressure on that offensive front in an effort to get Tom to get rid of the football first. So I think the wheel routes are going to be important. That's why I think Julian Edelman, as I said earlier, is primed to have a big day. And if they can't cover Gronk, then he will mash them over the middle.
That's true. But don't you get the sense that the Patriots throw away their game plan early when it's not going right? Because I feel like,
well,
they try and run it, and then a couple series, you don't get any production from it, and all of a sudden it just passes all.
Yeah, they kind of give up on it, you mean?
Yeah, they give up. Like, they want to run it. Like, that's their intention.
Yeah.
They say, oh, we have to abandon the game. And, like, you look at the Dallas game, for instance.
Yeah.
After the game, they were talking, Tony Romo and Dez Bryant were talking about, you know, in the past we always get nervous, throw away the game plan and try and, you know, put it on our shoulders. But once you stick to the game plan, the game is 60 minutes long. You're going to have time to get back into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I guess there's two ways of looking at it. If it doesn't work well to begin with, you know, will they abandon it altogether? And again, I don't think they will. You might see them try to, you know, devise something a little bit more, you know, succinct in terms of being able to pick up yardage, but they can't really afford to, you know, I think the only way they give up on the run completely is if they get behind in the game and they have to wing it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, I feel like I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I feel like because of our defense this year, that we can afford to actually do that. Because past years, I get it. If we were down, we have to let Tom Brady get us back in the game. Because our defense is not going to have any three and outs, and the game might be over.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, we force three and outs a lot of the time. So I feel like we're going to have plenty of chances to get back in the game, even if it doesn't work out first quarter, second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that they will have plenty of chances to get back in the game because I think Baltimore's secondary will allow them to do that. I actually like the way that the Patriots defense matches up with Baltimore. I'm not terribly concerned. The one thing that does concern me is Flacco's propensity for the deep ball, but, you know, and I think he'll probably connect on a couple. A question is, do the Patriots stiffen up defensively in the red zone to allow, you know, the Ravens to, you know, have to kick field goals, you know, rather than, you know, scoring touchdowns? And that may be the difference in the ball game on Saturday. You know, and especially with, listen, if Baltimore is forced to kick five field goals, that's still 15 points on the board. The Patriots are still going to score at least three times to win the game, right? So
yeah.
All I'm saying is that, you know, I think if the Patriots, you know, operate bend but don't break defensively, and then, as long as they're toughening up in the red zone, then this offense is probably going to have enough juice to be able to win the game.
Yeah, true. Definitely.
That's kind of how I look at it. I think Baltimore will have some success because Flacco is one of the more accurate long ball throwers in the NFL. I think you got to give the guy his due. You know, and whether or not he's best in the NFL, like John Harbaugh said earlier this week, you know, what the hell else is the guy going to say? He's got to take up on, you know, the argument for his guy. You know, that's not a slight at Tom Brady. That's not a slight at anybody else. He's just defending his guy, and that's what you have to do, and I totally understand that. And there is some truth to it. I mean, he's a very accurate long ball thrower. Question is, can the Patriots cut off the field in an effort to, you know, keep that from happening more than once or twice? And if they can, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm not worried about this game at all. I think we're going to not cruise to a victory, but it's going to be a pretty solid victory.
Well, I know the Patriots are about a touchdown favorite. I kind of like that margin right now. But keep in mind now, even if it's 7.5 points, whatever it may be, if the Patriots win by 7, that's still a one-possession game right down to the end. Depends on who has the ball at the end, right?
I feel like if we beat Baltimore, then our road to the Super Bowl is going to be easy because I don't feel like anyone else.
Don't ever use the term easy, honestly.
Not easy, sorry, that was the wrong word, but
yeah.
Definitely not as hard as this test is going to be.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's put it this way, and I understand where you're going. Let's put it this way. The way Baltimore feels now coming into New England is the way the Patriots will probably feel when Denver, if Denver, comes here.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
And they should feel like that.
Well,
Peyton Manning.
Right, and plus they've got the, you know, advantage of having beaten them here already.
Exactly.
All right, brother, I'm glad you called.
Thank you. Great talking to you, man.
You too. Do it again sometime soon. Here's Tyus in North Carolina. Tyus, you're in the playbook.
Yes, sir. The thing that I would say worries me the most is Suggs and Doom, especially Suggs. We just know that with the quarterbacks, he likes to grab those ankles and then roll.
Yeah.
And man, just the thought about him breathing down Brady's neck, you know? I mean, I understand. Don't get me wrong. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to destroy him. But, man, what would be the point of win if then they chew up Brady's knee? And then it doesn't matter because the rest of the playoffs.
Right. Well, you know, everything is concern. Everything is a concern, and it should be, because then you're not doing your due diligence if it's not a concern. I do think, though, however, that no matter what Baltimore throws at New England, my thought is that the Patriots should. And here's one of the other things that I kind of noticed a little bit late in the year, Ty, is I didn't see adjustments made as quickly as I think the Patriots have made them against opponents in the past. So that's a little bit of a concern. My guess is, though, that, you know, hey, these guys all have their blinders on, and they've, you know, taken care of their book learning and all that stuff this week, and trying to prep for the Ravens. And so that if they need to make adjustments, I think this team will be able to do that. But I have to admit, that's still a little thought in the back of my head.
Exactly. And again, I just see Suggs, and again, I see him do so many times the quarterbacks. And you know he hates Tom Brady.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think a lot of this stuff is overrated. I think Suggs is, you know, he may be a jackass sometimes to a lot of people, but he's a showman. He's doing it to get under, you know, fans' skin. He's doing it, you know, thinking that maybe if I yap, I'll get under the Patriots' skin. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. I don't think he's a blithering idiot. In fact, I don't think anybody in the NFL is a blithering idiot. They may act like it sometimes, but I really don't believe that to be the case. He's doing it just to create interest. The guy is a showman. That's exactly what he is. And he's also a pretty good football player. Most of the time, he can back up exactly what he says. You know?
Exactly.
So you know, he's going to – once – listen, once you get hit in the mouth, once you get hit upside of your head, once somebody tries to take your knees out from underneath you, it's over, man. Let's just play. Let's play the game.
That's what Tyson said, right? Everybody's playing to get punched in the face.
Yes, exactly. Let's just go play the game. Let's see what happens. Nobody's thinking about, you know, anything other than beating the man in front of him once the ball is kicked off.
Yep, no doubt. And then, don't get me wrong, like I said, I do think we're going to win. But you asked, you know, what are you most worried about? That's what I'm most worried about.
Yes, and I, you know what? And I think that's just as legitimate as any other reason there would be. Because if he gets off early, and let's say he grabs a couple of sacks in the first quarter, or the first half at least, then you know it's going to be very hard to stop him. You want to make sure that he doesn't get going like a freight train gets going.
Exactly, exactly. I want to see some nice runs, maybe great bust through the middle for some nice long runs.
I want to throw and run right at his butt. That's what I want to do. I want to go right at him. Let's challenge that athleticism a little bit. Let's go.
All right, go Pat.
Right, there you go. Thanks, Tyus. Appreciate that. Here's our buddy Eldridge, also in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, sir.
I'm doing pretty good, too.
Excellent.
I'm a little confident, but I'm a lot worried. I got four concerns. I know y'all talking about just get one.
Yep.
Four is that front line. I ain't talking about just the linebacker. I'm talking about Thugs, Somerville, Canty, and Nada against the offensive line. And how much time Brady going to have time to get back, throw, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the last 4 weeks, man, that line ain't been what it's been, and offense ain't been what it's been because of that. And other concerns are, I don't know if it's just me. Everybody keeps saying, you know, including previous shows, that, okay, if you stop Smith, if you, you know, just the two Smith brothers, that's all you got to worry about. Like I told them, they got four receivers that can go deep. And two of them they keep throwing to quite constantly. I'm talking about Adams and that other, and Jacoby Jones.
Okay.
Dennard, Ryan, and Arrington cannot run with neither one of those. They can't. So, like I said, they got speed.
Yeah.
Huge. You can't coach speed.
Right.
That's my other concern. And then Patrick Jones back in the safety.
Right.
Deep. But that's, other than that, you know, I'm hoping we come out of a 12-point or 14-point win victory. But that's my concern right about now.
Right.
And, They got in there last time. They went to the Super Bowl on the fifth seed. They got hot at the right moment. And they like to get hot at the right moment this time. But they did the same thing. They had to beat the team, wait for somebody else to win. Then they won the first round in the playoffs. And they came straight to our house and they beat us there. That's what I keep remembering. You know, we ain't got the team that we have now. I admit that. You know, but we got some pieces that's a little bit better. But still, we're lacking the same three areas. Pass rush, offensive line. And that's all I got. That's all I got.
You're actually pretty thorough right there, Eldridge. That's good. You should come in here and take my spot someday.
No, I can't do that, John. You're the man.
No. Drive that truck right on up here and come on in. You can join me. You can join the studio anytime.
Yes, sir. But see, that's my concern. The areas are still the same.
All right. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it.
And that's what I'm worried about.
All right. So, let me ask you then. Put on your analyst hat for a moment. Where do you think then the Patriots hold the advantage?
Well, I think they hold the advantage yet.
Yeah.
Gronk, and you got to go deep. You know, you got to go deep at least once or twice. You know, if you just that dink and dunk stuff, what Pittsburgh was trying last Saturday, and they got receivers go fast, go deep too. You know, but this one place they had their success was when they going deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep seeing Ben get pushed around, you know, the line. And then I also saw the Raven line get pushed around. But the difference was, Zacho finds a little corner, a little place to throw, and he's actually dead
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the only way we're going to have advantage is that line about to jail, they got to chip, get out a little quick, and they got to go deep at least a couple times.
Right.
At least a couple. If they don't do that, they think they're dink and dunk stuff, like I told them a couple years ago. Dink and dunk is good during regular season. And it happens that much in the postseason.
Well, I think that depends. That depends, Elders. That depends on the looks that Baltimore gives you defensively. So you know, if they're going to be concerned with anything that's, you know, beyond that 7 yard range, and they find that, you know, the underneath stuff is open, that's where the Patriots are going. That's going to be predicated on what Baltimore's showing you defensively.
Yeah, I know, but remember now, that's what they did to us. The following year, they came down and they said, well, heck, they ain't got nobody to go deep. So they just make sure they stick in that 5-7 yard line. And that's how they beat it.
Okay.
But we have Deacon and Duncan.
Okay.
And it was there. Ray Lewis, Suggs, and the other Elderby went to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, and Ray Lewis studied Brady so much, he knew what the audible was for Brady's head.
Yeah.
And he put his boys in the right place. I know he ain't there now. I know he ain't there now, but you better bet believe he's in his boy's ear. You better believe that. You know,
mm-hmm.
still lawyers of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still there.
Yep.
And he's still there.
Okay.
You know, you better believe they checking with him.
Okay. So you sound like you actually sound like you have a little bit of concern then for Saturday, huh?
I got a lot of concern for Saturday. Now, like I told y'all in the beginning, almost the team I don't want to see there because they match up a little bit too more for us, to be honest with you. I'm not worrying about Denver, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Kansas City, even after they beat us 48-3. I won't worry about them after that.
Okay.
You know, but Baltimore, yes, because you know why? Baltimore got a trap, bro, of whooping our butt each time they come to Baltimore.
Right.
Each time they come to New England.
Right.
And we won the last time on, what's that, a missed kick and a drop pass.
Right.
And otherwise, they'd be 3-0.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd be 3-0.
It would be.
So they know how to get under Brady. And John Harbaugh, like you said, is underneath Bill's tree. He knows what to do, how to take away, but he got the front line to get the pressure. He might not have a secondary like he did the last time, but he got the line to get the pressure.
Well, it sounds like then you've kind of got the attitude, most likely, that this coaching staff has, that you know where Baltimore can beat you.
Yes, sir, but remember now, you also got Dan Pease. He knows us.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, there is one. That's also true, and we also have one thing they don't have, and that's Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski, right? That's him. You know, but I guarantee you, they're trying to take him away too.
All right.
And,
they will.
They'll leave everybody else open. But the problem is, hey, make the play, make the catch, and Brady got enough time.
Right.
And I hope that line can bring the A game.
They're going to have to.
Double A game.
I agree with you. They're going to have to. Yeah.
Yes, sir. They have to bring the A game. Well, John, you have a good one, man. I'm going to.
Thanks, buddy.
Bro.
Thanks, all buddy. Right. Good job. Good job by Eldridge in North Carolina. Out on the road somewhere, no doubt. Chad in the ATL up next in the playbook. Hey, Chad.
Hey, John. How's it going?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent.
I guess I'm going to have to be the one to bring in some confidence into this show.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not too worried about these Ravens at all. Whenever I heard that we were going to be playing them, I emailed in the show yesterday and was like, I was laughing maniacally. I was rubbing my hands together maniacally. I was ready for it, you know, because they have no secondary, none. And, you know, even if they have Suggs and, you know, Nada and, you know, Doomerville, they're not going to have time to get the break because he's going to be hitting his read quick enough where it's not going to matter.
I actually do, in a sense, because one of the people that I think, as I mentioned earlier in the program, is Julian Edelman is primed to have a big day if they're coming hard. And then, you know, you'll have Edelman hopefully somewhere over the middle, you know, as a safety valve, or even Shane Vereen available as a safety valve if, you know, if Baltimore's decided to blitz and come after him.
Exactly. And, you know, it's either going to be Edelman that's going to have a good game or it's going to be Gronk. And, you know, it may be both of them. I mean, they're just, it's gonna be a blowout, I think. I don't think that the Ravens have enough talent right now. There's no Ray Lewis. I know people have brought that up. I do believe that he was a key role in the Patriots Ravens game being closer than they should be.
Well, here's where I think is a problem, and I know that I picked, you know, my focus is being the Ravens kicking game, which is supremely good, but if I had to choose a second choice, believe it or not, it's Justin Forsett. And I'll say that because I think in the wins that Baltimore has had here over the Patriots in the past, and again, 1 year really doesn't hold a lot compared to the next because years are completely different animals than others, but just as a point of reference, Baltimore, when they've played well, has been able to run the ball in New England.
Right.
And so I would say that if Forsett has a decent game where he gets, you know, 85-plus yards, then I think that means Baltimore's right in it to the bitter end.
Right. Now, another thing that I would say is Flacco and these Ravens, they haven't seen a defense that is any good this year. I mean, I think the best defensive line that they've seen was the Dolphins. And, I mean, they haven't seen anyone. I mean, I think this game is going to be kind of like the Broncos game. I don't think it's going to be as close as the Broncos game was at times, but I think they're going to have the same kind of blitz. They're going to have the same kind of defensive scheme, you know, going after and getting Flacco. I think he's going to be on his butt a lot of the time because, like I said, I mean, they haven't seen a secondary like ours yet, and they haven't seen a line like ours. So, I mean, that's another little tidbit to put in there.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about that one either.
No, that's I think you're I can't really argue the point that you're making. It's legit, absolutely.
So yeah, like I said, I'm pretty excited about this game. I think it's going to be, you know, I think our boys are going to take care of business, and I'm not very worried at all. So I hope everybody else can get some confidence through that. But.
Chad, what I hope is that the Patriots, if you know, it turns out being close to what you're talking about here. I hope the Patriots, above all, are able to pick up the momentum that they lacked at the end of the regular season and can use that to push forward into the AFC Championship.
Read my mind. I was just about to say that same thing.
Yeah.
And not only AFC Championship, but I think in the Super Bowl as well, no matter who it is. Like, and I also think Colts are going to pull a little upset in Denver.
You know, I'm agreeing with you. I got to talk to a bunch of Colts fans over the weekend being stuck in Indianapolis, and actually it's not a bad place to be stuck, but I would tell you that I just kind of had a feeling, and I don't know if it's just because I had Colts mania bashed into my brain over the course of the last 3 days, but I don't know. Call me crazy, but I'm going to give them, you know, I got to give the Colts at least more than a puncher's chance at Denver.
Exactly, I completely agree with you. So yeah, I think we'll handle the Ravens, and I think that's going to give us a lot of momentum. Dan Connolly's back, so you know the last few questionable games that our O-line had will be. I think that'll all be taken care of.
Yep.
Putting him back in the mix, and yep. I think it'll be a good game. And go Pat.
Way to go! That's good stuff, Chad. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. Here's our friend Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hey, Steve, you're in the playbook.
Hey, welcome back, John. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
On the heels of the discussion that we had with Chad and Indy versus Denver, I think we've really seen the maturation of Andrew Luck this year. And just looking at the end of that game, he was stepping into hits and still delivering the ball on target.
Yeah.
So, you know, be that what it is, you know, even with Denver having the defensive line that they have, given Andrew's size and just, you know, to steal the late, great, now Stuart Scott's quote, he's been cooler than the other side of the pillow.
He has. Yep, he has.
In the pocket and doing what he needs to do. So that's going to be an interesting game. And in the case of the Ravens and our Pats, I think the biggest thing this year, other than Gronk and Revis, of course, being the obvious, is health, John. At this point in those past games, we had decimated defense and offensive lines due to injuries. We had, at some point in time, half our team was either trying to play through an injury or they were out.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think
I'm following. Yeah. Sure.
Those factors that hasn't been calculated in. That being said, I'm really not afraid or worried about the Ravens. My only concern is Torrey Smith and Flacco hitting him with a deep rainbow.
Well, that I agree with you there. That does concern me. I do expect Flacco to hit on one or two of those during the game. I just don't want him hitting on more than one or two because that puts the extreme pressure on your defense. I don't think anybody's going to really get behind him. I'd be stunned if they got behind somebody. In other words, where, you know, McCourty is out of position, you know, if he's coming over the top for help and, you know, and he scores on a, say, a 40 or a 50-yard, you know, plus bomb in that regard. I could see them connecting a couple of deep balls, but not going all the way with it. If they go all the way with it, then I think we have major concerns.
And I think Revis and Browning are going to be switching off as well. That way Browning can bring a little pain, and Revis can keep somebody overmatched at times that they might not expect it. I don't expect them to say, you know, you've got left and you've got right, just to keep Flacco off his game a little bit.
Oh, they're definitely, Steve, they're definitely going to do that. I really believe strongly they'll switch it up. I don't think you'll see Darrell Revis solely on Steve Smith or Darrell Revis on Torrey Smith or, you know, frankly, I think you'll probably see him start off on Steve Smith only because I think that's where Flacco targets more often. I think he loves Steve Smith, and I think he believes Steve Smith can get you the yardage that you need, and so I think that's why you'll probably see Revis spend some time on Steve Smith, but I also think you'll see Revis with some time on Torrey Smith because he's, I think, probably the better of the two deep threats, and I think you'll probably see Browner switch up as well. You might even see Browner try to match up with Owen Daniels, perhaps at tight end a bit, you know, with some help over the top, you know, from a guy like McCourty. So I definitely think they'll throw out different looks. You'll probably see Browner maybe even into one of those hybrid-type linebacker positions, again, just to give Flacco different looks and maybe bait him into something big.
And, John, if Nico, Collins, and Jones can get pressure on him, I guarantee you Flacco's going to be good for at least one turnover.
I agree. I do think there's one, but I think there's a big difference here between one, which I think is escapable and overcomable by Baltimore, and two, which means that the Patriots are probably turning at least one, if not both, into scores. And if they're scoring easily, then I think Baltimore hasn't a prayer. So I think there's a big difference here between one and two turnovers in from a Baltimore perspective. You know, if Flacco turns it over twice, or let's say Flacco throws a pick and Forsett fumbles it once, and the Patriots are at least able to get seven out of one of those two, I think Baltimore's going to have a very, very difficult time winning the football game.
Yeah, if it comes down to those three words of smash-mouth football, John, and we're up 14-0, and we make the Ravens one-dimensional, it's going to be a long day for Flacco and the boys.
Which is Steve, I agree with that, which is exactly why I want to see them take the ball just once. Just once. I am going to continue to hammer that until my fingers bleed. You know that, right?
Well, John, you can keep the faith on that one. I think that's going to be a long, long shot.
It is a long shot. I recognize that. But I'm going to sit here. It's like
the lotto, John.
It's like playing that stupid game with the knife, and you go in between your fingers and everything. I don't care if I stab my hand. I'm going to keep going.
Mumbly peg. There you go.
Yeah, mumbly peg. Oh my God, what an idiotic game that is. Holy crap.
Well, I'm just hoping that, you know, that the Patriots show up with their ears pinned back and just literally punch her right in the mouth.
Yep.
You know, if the run game, I'm hoping that we don't abandon it. And if we're getting 4.5 to hopefully 5 yards carry, John, we're going to be fine because that will definitely set the tempo.
Okay. I'm kind of with you there. Yep, absolutely. How are you doing, by the way? Everything okay health-wise?
Yeah. My voice is a little off. Coming through this cold and looking at next week, doing my another round of chemo, but, you know, inspired by Mr. Stuart Scott, you know, I fight every day, so it's all good.
I'm glad to hear that. You keep me posted, will you?
I will, and I'll give Chandler Jones' brother a warning. I'm trying to get back into my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training in Muay Thai, so, you know. I'm sure he's very scared to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But that's really good to hear. So just know that I'm thinking about you, brother. You keep fighting the good fight.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks for going well there, brother.
All right. Excellent. Glad to hear it,
Steve. All right, take care.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Steve in Killeen, Texas. By the way, I realized, and I know he brought it up, and for those that are just listening to the program really for the first time or you're just sampling here, Steve's been a longtime caller, longtime follower here on the program. And, again, this is our 14th year of doing this program. And he's been pretty much a regular, I think, in terms of a contributor, whether it's been email or on the phone or what have you. At least half of that time, maybe even a little bit more than that. And told us a few years ago that, you know, he has been battling cancer himself. And I believe he's had it in remission, and now he's battling again. And so excuse me for getting a little personal there with him, but I just want him to know that, there are a lot of people that are in similar situations. And I'm proud of the way that he's fighting. As far as the Stuart Scott thing is concerned, for those of you that do know, I spent 11 years working for the almost 12 years, self-proclaimed worldwide leader in sports. I didn't know Stuart well, but, you know, we certainly, you know, I mean, I'll put it this way. He knew my name, and so whenever he'd have to come into the studio for radio, you know, he would say, "Hey, John, how's it going?" And he would always shake my hand. Dude would always shake my hand, you know, classy, just a classy guy. And so all the accolades that are coming along are really well-deserved. I'm almost a little surprised and taken back by the outpouring of affection, but I think that just shows you that once he passed over the weekend, that he had an impact on a lot of people in sports in this country. And he made it, he brought the new generation somewhat grudgingly into, you know, relevant sports discussion and into fandom, you know, because of his, you know, his booyah and his and his cooler than the other side of the pillow, and, you know, his hip hop attitude that he had. And I have to admit, when he first came on the scene, when ESPN2 signed on back in what, 1993, I think it was. So it's been over 20 years ago, and he was hired for that Sports Smash thing, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was unique back then because I was still doing television at the time, but I didn't like the shtick, and I understood that ESPN2 actually launched in an effort to try to gain a younger audience. And it worked. And it worked so much that they decided that, well, we're going to quickly go a different direction. So at the time, as I recall, people thought, well, ESPN2 is a flop because now they're going to turn it into regular ESPN, which really they did. You know, ESPN2 is just basically, you know, a mirror of ESPN, of the flagship now, as you well know, if you watch the network at all. And that's not what happened. It was such a spectacular success because of the younger demographics that they quickly wanted to merge it with the mainstream and take the whole thing that direction because they felt like, you know, hey, more and more young people are coming in and they're getting what we're doing here. And that's quickly why Stu moved into the regular studio for SportsCenter and ESPN. And you know, I wasn't into it, but I certainly, as someone who tries to teach this to college kids now, as I've done for 10 years as a professor of journalism at Emerson College in Boston, I get it. I totally get it. And his impact has been far, far reaching. And we are worse as a sports consuming nation without him around any longer. Sad, tragic. He fought three times back, came back from it, you know, and it just kept attacking him and attacking him. And you know, his speech last year at the ESPYs was remarkable. It was a slap home run. It was just, you know, talking about how you cancer doesn't beat you. You beat cancer by the way you live. And that will always stay with me, as I'm sure it will for many of his other friends at ESPN and those and many more, you know, closer friends than I was. But just a class guy, absolute class individual. And, you know, I was shocked by it by a lot of other people. Nobody really realized how bad off he really was until the very end. So, at any rate, forgive me for saying that, but I just felt like I had to get that off my chest, especially in talking to Steve and Killeen, who I think is a big fighter himself, and I'm really appreciative of that. And, you know, keep guys like Steve and Stuart and all those who fight the good fight, keep them in your thoughts and prayers, will you? All right, let's take a break here, and let's come back and continue with more. In hour number two, we're going to listen into some of the interviews that we've gotten over the last couple of days, because I really believe sometimes it's just important to hear what our guys say. say and what the other guys say in case you don't get a chance to do that here on the website. Because sometimes I know it's a chore. You got a routine, and you have to click on the interviews, and then you get distracted doing your job or doing your work, whatever else it is, you know, if you've got the computer going on. And so what we do in the body of it, if you've got us going, especially on your app and you're listening in the car, wherever you may be, we're going to pop in at least some excerpts of that for you so you can get a taste, so you can get a flavor of the buildup to the kickoff here at 4:35 Eastern time on Saturday at Gillette. So we're going to do a little of that in the second hour. And I also want to remind you, if you're joining us late live, that really our WTF today, our focus for Wednesday, is on what about the Ravens worries you the most? What aspect of Baltimore's game, offense, defense, special teams, what have you, worries you the most and maybe causes you to think that part of the Baltimore can beat the Patriots? And if you're like Chad in the ATL who called in the opening hour and said, nothing really concerns me, that's fine too. Let me know that. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. Phone lines are open, so let's go. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com on email. I got a bunch of emails, and I will get to those. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Ready, set, and go.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
All right, come on, jump into the Playbook here. Hour number two. On a hashtag WTF Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio, the focus on the Ravens, squarely on the Ravens. You don't look ahead. You don't look behind. It's 0-0. You know all of the cliches. It's the playoffs. This is exactly where everyone from down the hallway to anyone who's basically within earshot of me right now, this is exactly where you expected to be 20 weeks ago when we got this thing going. Okay? Exactly where you expect it to be. And, of course, you also expect to get past this week, and you may expect to get past the next week as well. But before we get to that point, now you have to literally put blinders on and say it's one game at a time. That's very cliche-ish, I know. But you have to do that. Now, we can have some fun kind of looking ahead because that's what we do here. The other guys down the hallway, they won't do that. But I think I get the sense that many of you, not all of you, but many of you, kind of want to mirror what the team is doing here in terms of the thought process and maybe some of the planning and game planning and whatever going into it. You want to worry about the Ravens. And I got a mixed bag so far. Some of you are concerned. Others of you are not concerned. And I guess that's probably to be expected. I am still a little concerned. I still feel like the Patriots should win this game. But I wrote what I did on the website simply because Baltimore deserves the respect because they have come in here and they have played well and they have matched wits with the Patriots and they have beaten them two out of the three times they played them here in the postseason. In fact, as we mentioned with Eric Scalavino in the opening hour of the program today, they very easily could have had three wins in three playoff tries. And you know that, I know that, we all know that. So what differentiates those teams from this Baltimore team that's coming in with just as much confidence, if not more, than what they had in each of the previous three trips to Foxborough? I kind of wonder out loud about that, you know? So that's why I'm asking you, where do you think the focus should be from the Baltimore perspective? Who on Baltimore's team can beat New England? can give his team the ultimate boost to move on to an AFC championship game. And it would have to be on the road again next week for Baltimore anyway. So they would play at whoever wins the Denver-Indianapolis game. If Indy gets the upset and Baltimore gets the upset, then they're going to play it at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. So it'd have to be on the road. I know that's hadn't even entered into your thought process, but I suppose it certainly could happen. Matt sends this email. He says, once I found out the Ravens were coming to town, I had to buy tickets to this game. Pittsburgh showed just how much penalties can be costly and how they can ultimately contribute to losing a game. If there's a time where penalties have to be avoided or minimized, it's this Saturday. The outcome of this game will be determined by the O-lines and the D-lines of both teams battling in the trenches. Do you think this game will be the toughest mentally this year for the team to overcome? This is the moment for the Pats to get the monkey off their backs, beat the Ravens convincingly, not by missed field goals or narrow wins, just pure do-your-job Patriots dominance. Well, Matt in Watertown, thanks for the email, Matt. Toughest mentally for the team to overcome? I don't know if it would be. I mean, I realize the playoffs are a different beast, and everybody's 0-0, as I just said a little while ago, but honestly, I think that the toughest game for them to overcome might have been coming off of that Kansas City loss early in the year, and they come back home and they spank Cincinnati. I think that may have been the biggest turnaround mentally all season that the Patriots had, because we pretty much had said, oh, my God, they're toast. They got problems, and, you know, this team is going to struggle just to get in. And they managed to do that. They managed to turn it around. So what I'm kind of thinking here is that, you know, while I think this will be a test because of Baltimore's ultimate confidence here, what I'm thinking here is that, quite frankly, no, I actually think the Patriots are in pretty good shape where that's concerned. Drew in Bowie, Maryland, says, John, to get past the Ravens, no Hail Mary passes to Torrey Smith, no Ravens standing over Brady. If we control those factors, the legends grow. To that end, I liken Brady's career to Kobe Bryant. A lot of early success when they played second fiddle, individual accolades and great stats in the middle, and a big decision about finances later in the career. Hopefully Brady's selflessness pans out better than Kobe's selfishness. Okay. I think that may be, honestly, Drew, the first time I've ever seen Brady compared to Kobe Bryant in terms of the way that their careers have traveled. I never really thought of that way, but I can see where you're going with that. He says, I liken the Patriots to the Yankees. Many championships at the turn of the century and a bit of a drought since. We need another championship to distance ourselves from the evil empire. Good email, Drew, but I would tell you that we are the evil empire. We are. We kind of are. I mean, I realize you don't want to say that. You don't want to think that. But I think the Patriots, to the other 31 teams in the NFL, I think the Patriots are the evil empire. Sorry to bring that to you, but I kind of get that sense everywhere I go. You know, case in point, I'm traveling in the Big East Conference, you know, doing college basketball games, and I actually have a favorite bag that I carry a lot of my stuff in, and it's a Patriots bag. And so, you know, here I am walking with, a bunch of, 6'5" to 7'2" guys, you know, in airports and, you know, and in public going out to restaurants and things like that. And I've got this Patriots bag with me. And I guarantee you it's the Patriots bag that gets the most attention as opposed to the 7'2" guys that I'm, you know, shrunken by. It's true. It's true. Get that a lot when we go to, you know, places like we go through Pittsburgh, you know, in Indianapolis this past week. I mean, it just happens. You know, people look, oh, Patriot, oh, you're a Patriot fan. Oh, goodness, oh, you like the Patriot? Oh, good, you know, I always get that reaction. I always get a crinkled nose or, you know, something, you know, a furrowed eyebrow or something. So, dude, hate to tell you, but we are the evil empire. Chad says, yo, Rook, let's stop dramatizing and be serious. Since 2011, it's the same jingle. Oh, my God, that opponent is so scary. Why is the 2012 Houston Texan lesson still not learnt? New England will win big. Says you, Chad. Says you. Okay. Then let's revisit this next week, if we do. And then if the Patriots lose, and I'm not saying they will, but you need to make sure that you're back here next week and you say, yo, Rook, I was wrong. Okay? I do this just to bring in the other angle, buddy. I guess you're not understanding. I always play devil's advocate. That's what we do here in the playbook. We have to examine the other side. You have to see the other team's point of view. You got to see what the national, international point of view is on your team, because you're so close to the forest, you can't see the trees. My job here is to get away from the forest and to plow the forest so you can get relative discussion going. That's my job. So it's not that I either, A, really believe it, or B, that I think that that's really going to happen. It's just that nobody else is bringing up that point of view. So guess what? I'm gonna. You don't have to agree with it. And frankly, you can come back here anytime you like and say, hey, yo, you were wrong. What's up with that? And I'll be happy to explain myself. But I want you to do the same thing. So remember that. Douglas from Brazil says, John, one thing I think is key is our safeties playing well. Joe Flacco does love the big play. And also, being so good on the big play, Daniels, the tight end, a good game against the Steelers. So I think the safeties have to be solid. And the tight end's coverages must be good, too. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Douglas. Well, I talked a little about this in the opening hour, Douglas. Love the big play. He absolutely does. He's very good at it. He's one of the most accurate deep ball throwers in the NFL. I think he was fourth in throws of accuracy of 20 yards or more in the NFL this year. So that's pretty solid. Daniels did have a good game against the Steelers. I definitely think they're going to target him. I think they're going to test the Patriots secondary with that, because I anticipate, you know, the Patriots playing some man. Maybe they'll change it up, but, you know, I'm sure that they'll see man defense, and I'm sure they're going to go that direction. So, yes, the safeties have to be solid. Interesting to see, you know, where McCourty sort of angles his coverage as he helps over the top. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. John, I think the focus needs to be the Baltimore pass rush, but from the Patriots OC perspective, allow me to explain. The Ravens DL is very good across the board. They have two very good pass rushing ends, and as you stated, one of the best nose tackles that collapse in the pocket and Nada. Conversely, the Pats line has had its problems against good pass rushing defensive linemen. This is where McDaniels needs to game plan and play call intelligently. Bingo. If he intends to go five wide and give no extra protection, then the ball needs to come out quickly. If he wants to stretch the field, then he needs to provide extra protection. He needs to incorporate screens and draw plays when least expected, like using Blunt or Grayson and Gray and not Vereen. Bottom line, McDaniels needs to be less predictable, more intelligent in his play calling than he has been for a good part of this season in order to negate the good pass rush that the Ravens bring to the game. Howard, beautifully stated. You are 110% accurate with your assessment. Well played. This one comes from Clay in Foster, Rhode Island. John, my biggest concern is our O-line has been all season. The Ravens absolutely bring it. If Brady is running for his life all day, we're in trouble. If the O-line gets it together, we'll be okay. To me, it's been the O-line all year. As far as the Cundiff kick, well, I think that kick was for the tie, not for the win. So even if he had made it, it doesn't necessarily mean that we lose that game. Go Pats. Yeah, that's true. It was for a tie, as I recall. But, you know, you could still lose that game as easily as you could have won it. He says, P.S. Suggs is just a very bad person in life. The bleach incident, dirty football player, nothing would be sweeter than to send that donkey's rear end home. Can't disagree with you, that's for sure. All right, John says, each time the Ravens have played the Pats, they have shut down our short passing game and tried to force Brady to throw downfield, which they see is his and this offense's weakness. This would mean that Edelman will find it tough on the short routes, and he may be limited. Pats will have to take some shots down the field and complete some of them to keep the Ravens honest. If they don't, Ravens will just smother the Pats short game. Good point. That's certainly one of the areas in which they have had success in the past. I think they're going to be so preoccupied, however, with Gronkowski that that's going to open up an opportunity for Edelman. It'll be up to the Patriots and specifically Josh McDaniels to recognize that and do that, as Howard said earlier. Here's Dylan in Florida. Dylan, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Dylan.
Time fan. Yep, I got two subjects to touch on here. One is, you know, lately in the media, they've been talking about how the Ravens, they play us very well at home and whatnot. I think these two teams are very different than they have been in the past. I know our defense has gotten a lot better over the past few years, especially this year, with the two cornerbacks we got now, and McCourty at safety covering the deep ball. And another one is, you know, they lost a lot of leadership over there on the Ravens D with the Reeds and the Lewises and whatnot. I think that'll be a factor in this game.
Yeah, absolutely it will be. I think.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. You got the floor.
Yeah. One more thing is that I think our biggest issue is going to be this game is Nate Solder holding up.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to see the swinging gate in someone like Suggs come barreling down around the end. I totally agree with that. I actually think that they'll probably, depending on the line where they line up, you know, that could be a spot for Doomerville, you know, to try to duck underneath. I think that's where, you know, the Patriots will have their biggest problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, that's also part of the reason why I think that you'll see the Patriots probably keep a guy like Devlin in the game for a few more snaps, especially in obvious passing downs, simply because they're going to want him to chip at those guys that get around those ends.
Okay. All right, makes sense. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
I appreciate that, Devlin. Thank you. Let's get Andrew in Buffalo in here. Andrew, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Going good. I wanted to kind of elaborate on Shane Vereen. I think he's been kind of quiet these past couple of weeks. We're going to need some big production from him as far as catching the ball out of the backfield. And if we spread him out and they're trying to do a draw, which we criticized, you know, the offensive coordinator about the draw plays a lot because they say, you know, if we're going to run, then we should just run, you know, under center, you know, with a full back. But if Shane Vereen does it, he's going to have to be more productive in, you know, making guys miss and – I just felt like he failed to, you know, be productive these past couple of weeks.
Okay.
Late in the season. And we're going to need a lot from him this upcoming weekend. And also, I wanted to ask you, what do you think, where do you think they will line up the wide receiver, not Torrey Smith, but the slot guy, Jacoby Ford?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Kyle Arrington will be matched up against him? Because if so, I think he could struggle because Jacoby Ford's speed. I just want to know what your take is on that.
That may very well be, Andrew. That's a good point brought up by you because we really haven't mentioned Ford much. I think that may be where the Patriots might rely some on some safety help, possibly.
Okay.
I'm not sold that Arrington gets that spot defensively because I really believe that there will be a mix and match for the Patriots in order to, you know, cause Flacco to take that extra second or two. But I think that you could expect, you know, some help to come from the safeties.
Okay, good. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, sir. Appreciate that. Dale in New Hampshire is up next in the playbook. Hey, Dale.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good.
All right, so a couple of things that I've been thinking about. The matchup between Brandon Browner and what I think should be Steve Smith Jr., that could be where the refs might be airing out some laundry, and that's a concern. Aside from that, I mean, as long as our defense tightens up,
yeah,
we can get some pressure on their quarterback, I don't think we have much of a problem.
No, but I just the pressure. Wait a second. Are you talking about the pressure on their quarterback, on Flacco, or pressure on our quarterback?
If we can pressure Flacco, if we can pressure him, we can make him make mistakes. If he tries for a long ball and we're running down his throat, I have a feeling that he'll throw it to the wrong team.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge key in this game. I really believe that the Patriots have got to figure out a way to turn Baltimore over a couple of times. And one of those has got to be Flacco, and they probably have to turn one of those into a score or a short field for the offense. And if they do that, and I think they'll be okay. And so that's where I think I would concur with you. But I think it's imperative that they throw different looks at Flacco so they can hopefully confuse him to the point where he'll want to take a shot where really that shot doesn't exist.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts on the coverage schemes that the Patriots might use against their wide receivers? I mean, Torrey Smith, incredible, and Steve Smith. I mean, his physicality is something that I think would cause a lot of issues with our corners.
Well, it certainly can, and that's why I kind of think you might see Revis on Steve Smith only because that's where Flacco likes to go. His numbers show that. You know, he gets targeted as much as I think the other receivers combined. So as I kind of looked at that initially this week, I'm thinking, well, then that certainly warrants, I think, a lot of attention from Durrell. I don't think that it'll be an exclusive relationship on Saturday, but I think that at least to start, I'd be surprised if it was much different than that.
Ah, gotcha. All right, thanks for taking the call.
All right, appreciate that, Dale. Thank you. All right, we'll keep the phone lines open at 855-PATS-500. Keep the emails coming at webradio@patriots.com, the Twitter handle at JRBroadcaster, and the Facebook post, which I've gotten a few here, and I'm going to read those shortly here, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. But right now, I'm going to get Vince Wilfork to you and what he had to say here at Gillette leading into the big kickoff with the Patriots and the Ravens Saturday here at Gillette Stadium.
I understand that a lot of teams run kind of a zone blocking scheme, but it seems to be one of the hallmarks of this Baltimore offensive line. They do a lot of it. What are some of the challenges in talking about facing a zone blocking scheme as opposed to facing a team that's got more of a traditional set?
I mean, the first thing you have to deal with is a lot of cut blocks. Facing a team like this is the cut blocks, and then also they play action pass look the same exact way, and so that's probably one of the hardest things to figure out during the course of the play is if it's a boot or is it a run, and they make it look exactly the same. So that's a credit to them. So we want to do a real good job of actually understanding and doing our job and just going through all of our film work, what we saw in film, and trusting our techniques. But it's going to be challenging. It's always challenging to face a team that run this type of offense just because there's so many things that they can do off of it, with the cut blocks, with the play action pass, with, you know, trying to get the ball vertical, not knowing where the running back's going to cut. So it gives their offense a lot of different areas there that they can actually create lanes up front. So we got to do a really good job up front of just playing good technique, and hopefully that'd be good enough.
Vince, facing Justin Forsett, is it his production, is it off the zone blocking scheme, or is it him as a good running?
I think it's both. I think sometimes you see that you think guys actually have him tackled, and he spurred out of the pack. And I think their offensive line do a real good job. So I think they do a real good job as an offense up front, with the tight ends and blocking downfield, and the running back being able to see those holes and see where he can crease you at. So they do a real good job of working together. I think that's how this offense is built. If they all work together, which they have been doing, they've been very successful running the football. So that's something they want to do. That's something that they've been doing very well. So I don't think they'll change this week just because of they coming to face us. So we have our hands full. It's a challenge for us, but at the same time, we welcome the challenge.
Is he different than any running back they've had in the past? He doesn't seem, I mean, I guess as big or as powerful. Like you said, he's more, like he can spread out and he's a little bit quicker.
For one point, Ray Rice was a pretty good all-around back. But I think for what they're trying to do right now, he's probably the best for that team with what he's done, what he's been doing with the zone running and stretch zone, catching the ball out the backfield, you name it, blitz pickup. So for what they want to do, I think he fit this, you know, their scheme perfectly, and it's shown.
Hey Vince, how much do you have to be aware of Joe Flacco's mobility on set?
You have to always be, worried about it. He don't run much, but when he do, he has some pretty good speed where he can outrun most defensive line, especially our defensive line. So. We have to do a real good job up front of just making sure we have him contained, understand where he at. He's been playing good football. He played great football in the postseason. So we understand this team coming in very confident. They won a game last week, so they already have a game up under their belt in the playoffs this year. So they've came here and played well before. So we understand that they're going to be riding high coming into this ball game. So we're going to have to be able to match that intensity. Being our first game in the playoffs this year, we have to be ready to go from the first snap. I don't care if it's offense, defense, whoever take the field, we have to be ready to go because they're going to be ready to go.
Hey, Vince, we haven't talked to you in a little bit here, but in light of the way the season ended to you last year, what did it mean to you to not only play in all 16 games this year, but also to take on a heavy workload in each of those games?
I'm a football player, and I always say that. So I wasn't surprised that I can play and be effective at this level. Health was never an issue with me this year, thinking about it. My goal was just getting back on this team and helping my teammates win. And we've done a lot of that around here. So I'm just fortunate and grateful to be playing in another postseason game this week coming up. You know, that's always been my goal, to get back and help my teammate win. And that's how I approach the season.
Since so many of you guys in the course of the 10, 12 years have not only made your reputation in the regular season, but during the postseason as well, sort of building your legacy, if you will, how important is it for Chandler Jones, do you think, to break out and become the player that he's been at times during the regular season, but he's never quite shown it in the postseason, be it health or whatever, other reasons?
I mean, I think it's important for all of us. You know, been playing the game for as long as I've been playing, you want to be playing your best football now. Every player, every guy that scrapped on his helmet this year, you want to be playing at your highest level now. It don't matter what you've done before this season, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, this season, it really doesn't matter. I think everybody starting fresh now. You lose, you go home. It's no game planning. And then, you know, if you lose this game, it's no game planning for next week. And I think we have to really understand that to be successful. So this game's going to give you what you give it. You know, whatever you put into this game, it's going to give it to you back. You can't shortcut anything, especially around this time of year. Every team you face is a good football team. Seems like Baltimore Ravens is a division opponent. We play them so much. So they know us. We know them. So it's going to be one of those tough old-school football games, I feel. Game that's going to have to be played in the trenches, up front, offense and defensive line. We have to do a real good job to be successful. But, you know, you have to be playing at your highest level, no matter who you are at this point in the year, if you want to be successful.
You've played many cold weather games before, so I know this is totally off the board. But what do? In a cold weather game, do you go long sleeve, short sleeve?
No. Do what I've been doing for 11 years. Go out there like I'm playing in 80 degrees. I'm a big believer. I'm not playing the weather. So I'm not going to switch my routine up just because of what's going on outside. Deal with it. I think at that point in the game, I don't care if it's, you know, -2 or 98, you have to be able to play that football game. And the more you can just focus on your opponent and everything else, just block it out, the better you'll be, the more successful you'll be. So I'm not going to change much going into this game.
You ever had a game where you went out there like that and said, this was stupid? Why did I
do that? No. Never. Never. I'll tell you what, when it get close to the end of the game, I'm ready to get inside. I won't lie about you that. But during the course of the game, you know, with the heated benches and going on and off the field and moving around, as a player, you really don't feel that coldness. You'd be so focused. You'd be so pumped up, and by the time, you know, you get a chance to feel it, you're on the sideline sitting on heated benches. So it's never, for me, it's never a problem, and I'm not trying to make it a problem. So
it feels good though, man.
I feel awesome. It feels awesome at the end.
How much do you trust the guys that have developed behind you, namely Dante and Jamie, and their growth in this defense and what you guys try to do as a unit? How much has your trust grown throughout the season?
It's at an all-time high with these guys. And that's one of the things that we try to preach around here. No matter what happens, if your number's called, you got to be ready to play. And those guys, number have been called, you know, last year and this year, this season, and they stepped up. They stepped up. So it's not hard for me to sit back and say, you know what, I know they're going to be where they need to be. I know they're going to put us in the right situation. They understand the game. They understand the game plan. They understand what the offense is trying to do to us. So it makes our jobs a lot easier up front to understand that everybody that's on that field at that moment, we trust them. So without trust, you know, you have a lot of problems. And I think I've been so fortunate to have been around this organization and this ball club for a while that the times we had those issues, we had problems. But now it's been like with the guys that came in, whether it's drafted or free agents or whatever it may be, they come in, they pick it up, and we have no issues. So it says a lot about that player as an individual and the system that we have in place, the coaching staff, how they get us prepared, ready to play. So it says a lot about it. It's a team effort. It's definitely a team effort, but at the same time, at the end of the day, when we take that field, we trust one another. And I think the good teams, they do that. They don't panic. No matter how good you are or how bad you're sucking, you stick together and you just ride it out. And I think we had our course over the year where we had to do some of those things and we rallied together as a team. And I think that's what a good football team does.
Last question for Vince.
Vince, how valuable was that bye week for you after 16 games? And how did you kind of balance wanting to rest and recover with still wanting to stay sharp?
I mean, it's easy. Come in, Bill get us in here, and we got some stuff done that we needed to do. I think it took the stress level off not preparing for a game, but at the same time preparing for things that we might need to do down the road or what makes us better as a team. And that practice, we had good days of practice where it was very competitive. Nobody was complaining. We had fun. We got some good work done. So I think that helped our ball club. But at the same time, just to get out and just do some things, move around and stay kind of sharp, like you said, I think that was the best thing for the team. Instead of sit out, for 7 days and talk about coming back to work this week and then you're sluggish, then you have to take 2 days to get back going. And before you know it, you're in the middle of the week playing on Saturday. And then now you're looking at the end of the week saying, man, we blew that chance. So I think we've done a great job with last week, with the bye week, approaching it, how we approached it, getting a chance to get a little rest and get off our feet and then come back to work ready to go. So it's going to be everything for us. We have to put up everything we have in one basket, and hopefully it's good enough. If it's not good enough, we have to find something before it's too late. But I'm very confident in this group. I'm very confident in the team. I'm confident in what we've done. I'm confident in what we're doing. So we just have to be able to execute at a high level come Saturday. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be a blowout. It's playoff football. It's going to be a tough fought football game. That's going to take 60 minutes. Who knows, might be even more than that. But we have to be prepared to play for however long it's going to take to walk away with a W. But it's going to be tough. All right.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
More emails to get to, Facebook posts to get to, got a couple of tweets to share. Phone lines are open, 855-PATS-500, as you heard, as we continue here on a WTF Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. And we'll take a little bit more specific look at the Ravens tomorrow in the program. And it's been a couple of weeks because of the holiday schedule. We've been kind of messed up here. But, hey, Russell Baxter, yeah, the guru himself, he will join us in the playbook again on a Thursday, as he had done during the entire course of the regular season. He will be on tomorrow's program, so you'll want to make sure that you tune in for that. Luke says via email, he says, John, C.J. Mosley and Forsett are the Ravens' best players on offense and defense. Patriots have to contain these two in order to dismantle completely the Ravens. We've seen what New England did to the rest of the Ravens last year. It could also be added that New England plays at its best in the divisional round. I can see where you're going with that. I don't know that the divisional round, to me, it's almost, I almost get the sense that the Patriots have treated it as an afterthought. I don't really mean that to their detriment. I just think that, you know, they're always looking forward because they expect more. I mean, they expect to be in AFC championships. They expect to get into Super Bowls, and I think that's just part of the cost of doing business in New England. Expectations here are greater than they are probably in, what, 30 other, you know, team stadiums in the entire NFL because of what this team has done over the course of the last 14, 15 years. So I'm not so sure that they do play their best in the divisional round. I'll be honest. I think it's mentally, sometimes it's a little tough to get into the gear when your expectations are different and they're a little bit more forward-putting. Mosley and Forsett, I kind of agree with you, Luke. I think that those are certainly two guys that you got to watch. So it's good to focus on those guys. Thank you for your email. Gabe says, John, welcome back. Okay, so what am I worried about? The head-hunting dirty birds. These guys like to hit with their helmets or tackle hard to the ground, and why not, right? What's the worst they get? A flag, 15 yards. Look what happened to Pittsburgh last week. Heath gets knocked out, then Ben gets knocked out, and then comes back in, and he never should have, and throws a game-ending pick. That is true. That's a good point, Gabe. Remember the Ridley helmet hit, the twisting of Gronk's ankle. These are some dirty birds. I'm hoping that the senescent play, oh, here we go, using the word of the day. Nicely done, Gabe. The senescent play of these Ravens will catch up to them in this game as the Pats stuff it down their throats by running and then running some more all the way into quarter four, saying nevermore. Woo, and now we're going to throw some Edgar Allan Poe in there, too. Got to tell you, E-Scout will be very, very proud of you, Gabe. But he does say here, our guys better keep their heads on a swivel. Oh, okay, excellent, excellent email. Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Tom in Baltimore. John, how do you think the Pats attack the Ravens both offensively and defensively? I think the Pats should use their 12 personnel, Gronk, Edelman, Wright, LaFell, Vereen. I think they should use Ayers at end opposite Chandler and have Ninkovich as a cover linebacker. Good suggestion, I think, actually, Tom, on the defensive side. As far as the 12 personnel, Wright, LaFell, Vereen, Gronk. One wide, two tight end set. You might see that. I don't know that you'll see it exclusively, but I think you'll definitely see Wright in there. Wright's also the one that could stand. I mentioned Julian Edelman in the opening out of the program, how I really believe he could have a big game here. Tim Wright's also the one that stands to perhaps gain if somehow the Ravens are able to figure out a way to slow down Rob Gronkowski or take him out of the game altogether. I don't know that that happens. I really don't think it does. But Tim Wright stands to be there in his stead. Cody says, best wishes to Steve. Get well, man. I'm nervous to see how our O-line holds up to the Ravens' D. I'd like to see an extra lineman out there to help Solder with Suggs. If Brady gets on a roll with the short passes and play action, there's no way we can lose. I think the Pats will get at least one turnover. Thank you, Cody. Cody's in Illinois, and he gives the shout-out to our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. So thank you, Cody, for that. Sure appreciate it. And I know Steve does as well. Yeah, I think like you, I think we're all kind of nervous to see until we actually, you know, kick this thing off on Saturday how that O-line's going to hold up. I do think you'll see some extra lineman situations. We'll get a lot of the, you know, head referee going, number 61 lines up as an extra receiver, eligible receiver, number 61. I think we'll probably hear that a lot. Chad from the ATL says, one thing I forgot to add when I called, I really hope that Browner gets to handle Steve Smith Sr. Smith Sr. has a tendency to let things, players, get in his head, and I think Browner has the ability to do that. And if you remember, Smith let Aqib Talib get in his head when we played them last year, but then Talib got injured, the whole ice up, son, comment, and had to leave the game. Browner's 6'4", Smith is 5'9", on a good day. So if Browner starts getting physical with him and starts pushing him around, well, then Smith will get frustrated and get angry. And if that happens, well, then you can watch for a skirmish to break out between Smith and Browner. You know, that's a good point. Maybe the Patriots have thought of that. Look, nothing will surprise me when it comes to coverage, and I think part of the reason is, as I suggested earlier, you're going to see a mixture of things, and you're probably going to see not one guy definitively on another guy. Bottom line is who do the Patriots really feel like they need to take away in order to make Baltimore one-dimensional? I think it's Steve Smith because that's where the majority of the targets Joe Flacco goes to. So because of that, I think the natural tendency is going to put your best guy on him. That doesn't mean Browner won't spend some time with him. Know what I'm saying? Garland says, John, I think this game will be a good test for the Pats, and the Baltimore front seven is a lot like Seattle's. If we can provide adequate protection for Brady, I think we'll do win. We'll do well, he says. I am still more concerned about facing Denver than Baltimore. However, we should win both games. Nothing like looking ahead, baby. It's all good. It's all good. All right, let me get a couple of Facebook posts in here. Where'd we go? Ah, here we is. Tammy puts this on Facebook. She says, John, my focus worry is which O-line shows up against Baltimore's defense. If it's the offense we had at the beginning or the end of the regular season, well, we're in trouble if Brady's not protected. If it's the offense we had during our tough stretch, we'll be fine. Our defense and special teams have been great. Thanks, Tammy. Miguel also posts from Bend, Oregon. He says, funny you said special teams. I'm going to be more specific. I say Jacoby Jones is an X factor. Other than that, we're going to win at 35-21. Okay? He's going to go out on a limb there. Mary Beth says, funny you should talk about traveling with Patriot gear. This past week, I've been in Washington, D.C., St. Louis, Missouri, and in Charlotte, North Carolina, wearing my Patriot gear always, and people always have something to say. More positive this trip than usual. Bandwagoners, I'm afraid of nothing. Go Pats. Thank you, Mary Beth, for chiming in. That's cool. Boy, you have been getting around. Call me world traveler. Shoot, D.C., St. Louis, Charlotte. Nicely done. Sporting a Patriot swag. Very good. Adam posts, John, does Gronk's SI cover worry you going into a physical game with Baltimore? Not superstitious, but I like to not chance things. Laugh out loud. First it's the Bieber curse, now it's SI. Is he trying to break every curse out there just to prove just how unstoppable he is? That's a good point, Adam. I kind of think so. No, I'm not worried about the SI cover because, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, if Bieber can't do it, then I don't think SI is going to do it. I think there's just a little different vibe about this team, so that's a good thing, I think. And, yeah, Gronk's probably, he probably has a little of that attitude as well. You know, it's like, nothing worries me, nothing bothers me. I'm just going to go be me, and I think that's what we all appreciate about Rob Gronkowski. A couple of tweets to share here. Jose says, it all comes down to fighting and grinding to the last minute of the game. Fear no man and fear no team. Patriots all the way. Pretty succinctly put, Jose. JD says, John, my man, glad you're back. Number one thing for Saturday's game is a win. Number two, I want to see Blunt do the Ray Lewis dance after a touchdown. Now, that would be totally off the hook. Do you know that Gillette Stadium would explode if you saw him get a chance to do that? If he gets into the end zone with a touchdown and he goes out on the Ray Lewis thing? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Place would just explode. I totally agree with that. That's nicely said. Good job. Steve also sends this tweet back. Steve from Killeen. He says, John, thanks for the kind words. I have been blessed in my fight. I'm grateful for the support, thoughts, and prayers. Dude, they're going to keep on coming. Got good vibes around you, babe. So you keep it going and keep calling us back and bring us up to date. And I'm sure the Patriots will also do their share as well to keep you in good stead. Don't ever worry about that at all. All right, Sebastian in Florida, you're going to get the final word here on the program of the playbook today. Hey, Sebastian.
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Good. Well, you know what? Today I was just kicking back and thinking of the matchups. And on the offensive end, I was thinking, what will the Ravens defense do against Gronk? And, I mean, Gronk is just a beast. I mean, he's just nasty. You know what I mean? Put a linebacker, D-backs. I think that's funny. They try to put linebackers and safeties against them.
Yeah.
And I think the Ravens will try to put Will Hill against them. He did a good job against Jimmy Graham, but this Gronk guy is just nasty. He is. I mean, linebacker, corner, safety, whoever it is, you can't cover the man.
Yep.
So that's one matchup that I'm going to be looking at. The second one is the matchup of what they're going to do on defense with the coverage, with the both Smith, the Torrey, and Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Pat Patricia has done is he's put Revis on the second best receiver. But I think in this game, I won't be shocked to see any type of coverage. You might see Browner on Steve, and you might see Revis. They might alternate, and you might have help up top with McCourty. But the only issue I'll have is who will guard Owen Daniels down the middle. And I think that'll be an assignment for Jamie Collins. So what do you think?
Well, that could happen because we've seen Collins do that. But I'm not so sure that they won't want Collins to almost be sort of a roving type of target back there, because I think they'll pick and choose their spots to maybe send him in the rush, to drop him back into coverage. They might put him in places that you wouldn't necessarily expect. I frankly expect to see Browner on Daniels a little bit. I'm not so sure. I just think that because he's got some size, that would free Collins up to actually make some plays somewhere else on the field.
Well, Collins is by far my favorite defender on the team. I mean, the versatility that he can edge rush, he can get after the quarterback, he can handle the tight ends and the running backs in the backfield. I mean, he's just versatile. And I thought that he should have won Defensive Player of the Year for the team this year.
I certainly think that he's definitely one of the most improved, and I think we've seen that he's a star in the making, and that as long as he stays healthy and continues this upward tick, that he is going to be somebody that the Patriots will love to have around for a number of years to come.
Oh, tell me. I mean, he is dynamite. I mean, the year that he's had, I'm going to go as far as this says, I think he can be a legit elite linebacker in the NFL. I mean, you see it in front of your eyes, and I lit up when I saw the game that they played against Green Bay, Miami, when he had like 13, 12 tackles and some stats. I don't know the specific stats, but I just lit up of the versatility, the speed that you saw. It was just like overwhelming.
He's working his way there, Sebastian. I totally agree. Appreciate that. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. We're out of time for the program today. Stick around, though, because the Bob Sosi Show is coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio. Tomorrow, back in the playbook, same patch time, same patch channel, 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it will be hashtag Prediction Thursday. So start thinking about those scores. Got a score to predict. Got yearbooks to give away. If you get the right score, that will be on our agenda for tomorrow, and so will the pro football guru himself, Russell S. Baxter. A couple of other surprises in the mix. We count it down to kickoff here at Gillette. Playoffs, baby! Playoffs? Yeah! Playoffs.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.